I'd like for you to take your Bible, turn to Isaiah 13, if you would. Isaiah 13, and just hold your place there, and we'll sort of introduce the real power behind Wicca or witchcraft can be easily discerned if, number one, you know the Bible and believe it, and number two, if you have been told something about Wicca or witchcraft, you've been taught something about it, maybe in a book you read, you thought you were reading just some innocent little book, but they were trying to introduce simple ideas of Wicca and witchcraft, especially to our young people, teenagers, adolescents, and so on. The devil is always, always, always trying to find a way to introduce alternative religious ideas, especially witchcraft, into their minds, into their hearts, and introduce this into them so that they learn it, and eventually it may actually become the replacement for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Four energies versus the four gospels, okay, is what we can call this. Now, what you have up on the screen is a pentagram or a pentagon. Witches like to refer to it as a pentacle. They wear it as a piece of jewelry. I remember the first time I was working in a Payless shoe source in the suburb of Oklahoma City, Moore, Oklahoma, and a lady came in, and she had probably about three different pentacles as part of her jewelry thing. She had a bracelet that had a pentacle on it. She had a pentacle ring, and then she had pentacle earrings. And immediately, I mean, this goes all the way back to college, I'm going, that's a witch. She's a practicing witch. Had I asked her at that time, do you practice witchcraft? There's no telling what answer I would have gotten, but more than likely, if she was going to be honest, she would have said, yeah, you know, and yeah, what of it, or whatever, but I'm sure I would have gotten the answer of, yeah, I would have. And we know that the ultimate meaning of the pentacle, the pentagram, the pentagon, is Isaiah chapter 14, the five things that Lucifer says in his mind. Verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations. If five is the number for death, then this matches. This fits perfect. For thou hast said in thine heart, number one, I will. You can count the things by the phrase, I will. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. There's the north again. And that's where the throne of God was seen coming from with Ezekiel. He saw it coming from the north. So the devil says, that throne in the north place, that's the one I'm going to sit on. I'm going to ride. Think of it like this. You want to talk about UFOs? He says, I want to ride that chariot. I want to ride that ship. That is going to belong to me. Because if it's the likeness of the Son of Man on there, Ezekiel 1, and he's got the glory of the Lord above him as in the form of a rainbow, then the devil says, I'm going to kill Jesus, the Son of Man, so that I can have his chariot, which has his throne on it. I'm going to kill him and steal his car. That's two felonies right there. He'll go to hell for that, I'm pretty sure. So anyway, he says, I will, verse 14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. And then the fifth thing he says, I will be like the Most High. And I want to tell you something. If you want God to kill you, then just proclaim to him, I will be like the Most High God. John Denver. Who remembers John Denver? John Denver. When he started, when he moved to California, his real name was something John Van Dortch. His dad was an Air Force officer, and that's where he probably learned a little bit about flying. But when he left to go to Los Angeles, he took the name John Denver, named after Denver, Colorado, because he liked Colorado. And but he said in a Life magazine interview, they said he was going to some sort of weird California-based religion called Erhard Seminary Training. And it was named after a German guy, Werner Erhard, who was teaching everybody that if they adopted all of these Eastern religious practices like meditation and mind transformation and everything else, then they will eventually become a god. And that's what John Denver said in this Life magazine article. He said, I believe one day that I will be a god. Well, you shouldn't have never said that, John. Okay? Because he wrecked his plane. John, I mean, he was a good pilot too, but he had this experimental plane. I don't know what happened. I've read several things. One thing said he had an alcohol limit that was too high. He shouldn't have been flying. We know that he had a drinking problem. We know he had a lot of other problems. And boom, he went from here, literally down to here, into the ocean. And they had to dig for his body and find his body and dig it out of the ocean. So you just can't tell God, I will be like the Most High. But that's what that symbol represents. So if you look at verse 16, or verse 15, yet thou should be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. And that's exactly, I mean, that's what happened with John Denver. And that's what's going to happen with Lucifer. So this imagery here of earth, air, fire, and water is that when they join together, spirit comes out of them. Who remembers? This goes back to the 90s, but there was a 90s cartoon for kids put out by Turner Broadcasting called Captain Planet. Remember that? And Captain Planet had these four kids that when they came together, they were earth, air, fire, and water. And when they joined together, then coming up out of the ground, because Gaia was their leader, Gaia the goddess, she would then allow their powers to come together and form Captain Planet. And he was going to be the savior of the world. And it one episode showed these evil men with their tractors, and they were cutting up trees in the rainforest, and that was just evil that they were doing that. And so earth, air, fire, and water got together, and Gaia said, we need to do something about that. And they got together, and Captain Planet comes rising up out of the ground, and then he destroys all the evil caterpillar tractors. That's entertainment for you. But where did they get that idea from? They got it from witchcraft. So, according to Silver Ravencroft, witches use the energies around them to assist in raising power. These energies manifest as the elements, earth, air, fire, water, and spirit. These energies, there's no energy just sitting around here. There are, however, devils, principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. According to the Encyclopedia of Witches, the four elements of nature, earth, air, water, and fire, form the foundation of natural magic, nature magic. Whether they call it nature magic, whether they call it elemental magic, using the elements, The elements are associated with the cardinal points of the magic circle. The cardinal points, remember, are north, south, east, west, or the four Sabbath days, the four Sabbath days that they have, which is spring equinox, summer solstice, autumn equinox, winter solstice. And then they have the cross quarter days, and Samhain is one of those. October 31st, Halloween, is one of those cross quarter days. And I mentioned in the Watchman broadcast on this, I said, I guarantee you somebody's going to die. There are still, and that was notes I was putting together for a Watchman on dealing with human sacrifice, and I will still do that. But I guarantee you, Halloween, October 31st, somewhere in this world, human beings were ritualistically sacrificed, their blood drained, and God only knows what else that I wouldn't even begin to talk about in His house. These elementals are usually represented by four types of creatures, gnomes. Don't put garden gnomes in your garden, okay? And don't put little winter snowman garden gnomes next to Santa and his eight reindeer in your front yard either, okay? Don't do these things. Gnomes are basically evil spirits. They're devils. They're earth spirits. So you remember the story of the witch of Endor, and when Saul said, I need a familiar spirit here, call me one forth, and the woman screamed, and he said, what'd you see? She said, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. Well, that's what gnomes are. They are earth deities, earth gods. And there are variations of gnomes in just about every culture, just about every ancient religion that there is. There's variations of earth deities or earth spirits that come out of the earth, are part of the earth. They are part of the superstitions of peoples around the world. You ever wonder why certain people live the way they do? You know, it's because they believe in somehow some form of gnomes. They believe in these earth spirits that can either give you good luck or bad luck. And if you got happy gnomes, then you're going to have a happy garden. If you've got angry gnomes, well, then they're going to infest your garden with all kinds of evil things, and it won't be good, and all this stuff like that. Those are the superstitions that surround things like gnomes. But of course, since the Bible tells us that we're wrestling against these things, that means that there's a whole lot meaner things that they're responsible for. Fairies. Who was the one of the main characters in Pinocchio? Huh? A fairy. Tinkerbell. Oh, that's Peter Pan?
It's the cricket.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of Jiminy Cricket in Pinocchio. But with Peter Pan, is there? Well, let's have a big church fight over it. Yeah, I'm telling you, there's a fairy in it. I said there's not, and we're leaving the church. No, we won't. But in Peter Pan, Tinkerbell, and she's depicted as, they're depicted as these harmless little butterfly creatures, okay, One guy has done, and I haven't read it myself. I have it. I probably need to go back and look at these notes, but he attributed the appearance of fairies and how some of their appearances were seen by people in days gone by, you know, like 150, 200, 300, 400 years ago. Very, very similar to the appearance of these gray aliens that people have been seeing. I can't remember his name. He's a French guy. But anyway, those are air spirits. So we have gnomes and fairies, earth and air. They're opposites. Salamanders, because it was thought that salamanders were born out of fire. Okay, I don't know why they thought that, but that's what they thought. Salamanders are fire creatures, if you think about it, they are fiery reptiles. What does that make them? Fiery serpents, okay? These are the fire spirits, and then undines. It's sort of like sardines. But undines are female water spirits. Okay? Aladdin. What was the song Little Mermaid sang? Anyway, an undine would be like something like a mermaid, okay, or a siren. We get the word siren or siren, like on a police car or an ambulance, from the high pitched squeal that undines and mermaids and sirens would use to draw in ships and basically crash them up against the rocks and kill everybody on board. Sounds nice, doesn't it? Or you would have these mermaids they would have fishtail for legs, but obviously they were all woman from the waist up and not clothed, which in itself, if you've got sailors out to sea for 6 months, that in itself is enough to draw the ship over there, and of course it would always crash the ship. But undines, these are water spirits. Where does the beast rise up out of? Yeah, Neptune is the king of the sea. And mermaids are undines. They are spirits that live in the ocean. They live in the sea. Okay? So you have, as part of these, earth, air, fire, and water, and they are represented by actual creatures. And since they're represented by actual creatures, then we know from the Bible, Ephesians 6, what they're represented by. The Bible's giving you the answer of what these things really are. And they're not our friends. They will not bring your garden good luck. You don't want them living in your backyard pool or anything like that. You don't want this stuff around you. You want a house that is about as empty of spirits as you can possibly get it. Somebody say amen. I don't know if I should keep going or not. Let me deal with this. I was going to say, our kids have enough problems with entrance points from spirits into their lives. Their eyes, their ears primarily, are the two primary entrance points that our children have from the spiritual world that is influencing them right now. An email from a lady. I'll try to remember to read it Tuesday. She has grandchildren, and she kind of watches what they watch on their tablets and phones. And she said, "Pastor Mike, don't let your kids have TikTok. TikTok is absolutely pure evil. And there are children who are filming themselves in various activities on TikTok. 10, 11-year-old children." And I'm just going, and I can't remember all that she said, so I'm not going to try to do it justice. But I want to tell you something. If your child has a tablet or a phone, I want to tell you, I don't care how old they are or how young they are. Put some sort of parental block on it to keep them from downloading certain apps, to keep them from... Listen, if a man came up to your house door and said, "Is it true that you have a daughter here?" Why do you want to know? "Well, I'm a minor attracted person, and I've seen your daughter, and I would like to build a relationship with her." Would you allow that? Then don't let them have TikTok. Don't let them have apps where they can communicate with other people. Because, there are YouTube channels that I watch every now and then, and they're predator catchers. And I like these guys because they pose on adult apps as 12, 13-year-old boys or girls. And for some reason, the perverts always want to show up and meet at Walmart. And they walk in Walmart, and there's this guy standing there exactly where the predator catcher told him to stand. And I don't know why these guys just start admitting why they were there. I guess they're scared to death or whatever. But they catch them and they turn all this stuff over to the police, and police go nab them. And their life is ruined because of it. But I want to tell you something. The pervs are out there looking for kids. They are everywhere, and they're online, and they know how to access your children a whole lot better than you know how to stop them. Now, having said all that, elemental witches believe that each cardinal point, north, south, east, west, is guarded over by its very own watchtower dragon. What's the name of the publishing company for the Jehovah's Witness? Yep. Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. Okay? And these dragons are called watchtower dragons. Now, I read in one book that when you, as a witch, when you draw your circle, and I won't say much else about what you're supposed to do because I don't want to teach it, but when you draw your magic circle and you're going to do a ritual and you're going to use these four watchtower dragons, they say to very quietly and easily nudge them, because usually they're awake, they're asleep. Now, what is the one thing about our God that we know that He never does? He doth neither slumber nor sleep. What was it that Elijah said to the prophets of Baal about Baal? Is he asleep? Okay, so we know our God doesn't sleep, but we know their God does. And they're saying, these witches said, be careful. Gently awaken them, because if you just go full force at them and wake them up, you might get devoured by them. No kidding. You just might get something you don't want. And they're talking about dragons. And what do we know about dragons? They worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who's like unto the beast? Who's able to make war with them? Now we're Isaiah 13. Because of the abominations of Babylon. Because Babylon is full of drunkenness, because she's full of perversions, because she's full of fornication, God said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring an army, he says in verse 5, from a far country, from the end of heaven, which means they don't live here right now. They do not live here on this earth right now. I'm going to bring them, though, to this place. He says in verse 11, I will punish the world for their evil. Then he said, verse 13, I will shake the heavens. That's in Revelation 12. That's in Revelation 6. That's in Joel. Where else is it? Where God said he's going to shake the heavens. Well, when he shakes the heavens, all these devils are going to fall out of it. So here he says, if we go down to verse 19, in Babylon, the glory of the kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Means there's nothing left. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation, neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there. And notice the language here. Neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. Shepherds are the preachers, and the folds are the congregation. That means you're not going to find any decent churches in that town. And then he said, verse 21, but wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures. Owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there. And the wild beasts of the island shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant palaces. That he said that dragons were going to live in their palaces, their houses, their churches, their lodge meeting halls, St. Peter's Basilica. Who believes that? I'll show you a satyr in St. Peter's Basilica. There's one in there. So what does that tell you? It tells you that St. Peter's Basilica, the heart of the Vatican, qualifies for this Babylon right here. Okay? Let's look at a few more things about dragons, and then we'll cut it off. Psalm 44:19, though thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons. What is the place of dragons? Covered us with the shadow of death. The place where dragons live is the shadow of death. It would be a dead church. Now, I don't always consider a live church as one that has a good band where the music is really get you going, and one where everybody's stopping and clamping and having a good time, and one where the preacher's putting on a real big show all across the stage. And I don't necessarily call that a live church. You could have that. You can cut the head off a chicken and it'll do that. But it won't do it for long. My definition of a live church is a church that stands on the truth of the Word of God and continues to stand because it doesn't have its head cut off. Okay? You cut the head off a snake, and what will the body do for the next hour, 30 minutes to an hour? Wriggle, writhe, everything else. Okay? But a live church is a church that still stands on the old paths and stands on the Word of God. If we stop doing that here, then Christ will leave. And the moment He leaves, dragons will move in. And it's the same in a house, a home. It's the same in a person's life. It's the same in a church. It's the same in a denomination. It's the same in a nation. Can we really say that we are a nation under God anymore? Can we really say that? I don't believe we can. I think, like this morning, I don't want to lose hope that God can turn this country on its knees and cause us to repent and cry out to God. I believe that. But right now, we're not one nation under God. We got too many dragons around. So they're always in the shadow of death. And I've spoken on this before about the person of the Gadarenes or the two at the Gergesenes who were full of devils and they lived in the tombs and the catacombs. Okay? Do I believe that spirits abide at cemeteries? Yes! Yes, 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 I do. 1,000 times yes. Okay, Psalm 91:13, thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. I like that one. In Romans chapter 16, may the God of heaven bruise Satan under your feet shortly. That is God who then wants you, and I've had this happen to me. The moment that I realize what's going on, it's devils that are climbing all over me, trying to get me to leave or trying to get me into sin or trying to get this or that. And God reminds me, Mike, they're not after you so much as they're after who's beneath you, who you're protecting, who you're guarding. And as soon as I realize that, I put my feet down and I trample on dragons. And scorpions, the whole lot of them, and serpents, and I don't like serpents, but it'll happen. Isaiah 51:9, awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord, awake as in the ancient days, in the generations of old. Art thou not it that hath cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? Rahab is an interesting theme in the Bible. We have the harlot Rahab, who God redeemed from Jericho, who was the great 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 whatever grandma of Jesus Christ. She's in the lineage of Christ. I love that. She was a harlot, but because she hid the two witnesses, the two spies, God saved her and her family, her mom and dad, her kids probably. Saved the whole lot of them. But then we have Rahab mentioned in a very, very bad way. There's another verse that says, God hath broken Rahab in pieces. And I've often wondered, this is just a theory of mine. You know, between Mars and Jupiter, what is it there? What is between Mars and Jupiter? In our sky. Huh? No. It orbits just like the Earth and Mars and Mercury and Venus and Earth and Mars, and but between the Earth and Mars. No, let's see. Earth and Mars. Yeah. Or Jupiter and Mars. One of the two. There's what's called an asteroid belt. And it appears that at one time there was a whole planet there that busted up to pieces like Krypton. And pieces of it, of course, fell on Mars. Pieces of it fell on the Earth. But I just wonder if there wasn't a planet there at one time, referred to as Rahab, because the Bible says God broke it in pieces. Okay? And that's something that I don't know for sure. I would never teach it as the gospel truth. You can believe what you want to about it, study about it if you want, but be careful what you study. There's always some nut trying to get you, all right? Jeremiah 9:11, I will make Jerusalem heaps and a den of dragons. Let's say Jerusalem represents this church, or let's say we were part of a group of churches, or we were in a denomination, and our denomination decided to slide away from the Word of God and slide away from the precepts given in Scriptures and move away from all these things. All of a sudden, God says, I'm going to destroy you and I'm going to ruin you, and you're going to be heaps and you're going to be nothing but a den of dragons. Dragons literally are going to live in your denominational offices, and they're the spirits that are going to be guiding and directing the way the denomination goes. That's why we are not now, nor will we ever be, in a denomination ever again. I heard preachers that said, you know, we're leaving them, we're walking away, and I said, no, we're standing still. They're the ones moving away from us. They're the ones that are chasing after the bigger crowds in the churches. They're chasing after the popularity. They're chasing after the worldly stuff that's in all the other churches. They're chasing after these things and running away and leaving the Word of God. We're standing here, standing still on the Word of God. And every day that goes on, they get farther and farther away from us. And it's because they are a den of dragons. And I will make the cities of Judah desolate without an inhabitant. Jeremiah 10:22, behold, the noise of the brute is come, and a great commotion out of the north country to make the cities of Judah desolate and a den of dragons. These dragons always have to do with desolation and destruction. Hazor shall be a dwelling for dragons and a desolation forever, and there shall no man abide there, nor any son of man dwell in it. So the main point of all of this, there's several of them. Number one, when you practice witchcraft, all you're going to get is ruin, desolation, destruction, the wrath of God. You're going to get, how can I put it? It would be like your life is a china shop and you allowed the bull in. That's what letting these dragons into your life will do. They will bring absolute desolation and death. Meanwhile, God is a God of life. And when you get the Holy Spirit in you and you are saved by grace through faith and you believe that Christ died for your sins according to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there is nothing in you but life and joy and peace. And it doesn't matter what the devil can do to you. And listen, I must be crazy for putting together a very detailed Watchman broadcast series on the Vatican when it has already been shown to us how bad they hate us. And I didn't... Am I allowed to say this about burning the food? Remember how I told you the Catholic Church run us out of our radio offices in Turkana and said they were going to use them to store food there? Okay. Well, apparently they did store food there, grain. And then they said, well, it got past date and it was no good. So they took it out and burned every drop of it right in the middle of a famine. That evil dwelling place of dragons furthered the famine by destroying. See, that's what I mean. They're desolation. They are destroying spirits. They destroyed every drop of grain that they had stored in those offices buildings that used to be ours, and we got run out of there. I must be crazy for going up against them. They have way more money. They have way more resources. But I think I have Jesus Christ. Amen. So, huh? I'm trying. It's either that or the dragons. If I don't do this, the dragons will move in here. And I don't want that for y'all. All right? Let's pray.